Welcome to Sister Share, where six sisters living around the world come together each week to talk about motherhood, health, cooking, parenting, and so much more. Thanks for joining us today.
Welcome to Sister Share. This week we are talking about travel tips. It's summertime, people are going places, and that can often be really tricky when you have a bunch of children along. First of all, who do we have here on the call with us today?
Hi, I'm Larray from Idaho.
This is Nettie calling in from Okinawa.
This is Mamie from Cache Valley, Utah.
And here's Becca from Manti, Utah.
So four sisters here, two may or may not join us during the call. I do want to say thanks to everyone who has been following us on Facebook and Instagram and joining our podcast. We doubled the number of our followers last week, so we are feeling really excited. Please make sure to like and share our posts and our episodes, and please submit any ideas that you have about these topics in the comments. We certainly do not have a corner on ideas. We are just sharing what we have, and we hope that other people will also share their ideas. Okay, travel tips. Who wants to start us off?
I don't know that I have any tips, but traveling with a lot of kids can get really loud. That's my experience. In one car. I have to say, I feel so overwhelmed whenever I know that a trip is coming. I'm excited for the trip, but it just makes me remember, oh, there is so much to get ready and so much to prepare for when I'm loading up our big van to take all of us anywhere. So I think sometimes I just have to remember that it's all bite-sized pieces. Okay, what are we going to eat? Let's figure out what we're going to eat in the car, or what do we need to pack for clothes in the car, or what do we need to pack for, you know,
entertainment,
bags and pillows, you know, just bite-sized pieces. I always have to remember that because I get so overwhelmed.
I have to say that sometimes I feel like I'm going to die before I'm ready for this trip. There's so much to do, and nobody really has that vision in their mind of everything that has to be accomplished except the mom. The kids just think, let's jump in the car and go. And sometimes the dad thinks that too. We're the ones with the vision, and it could be so exhausting getting ready to go somewhere.
I would agree with that. And in the early days of traveling with kids, I would get so stressed and be just on edge for like 24 to 48 hours beforehand, just snappy and short and so stressed about everything. And then I like what Becca said about the bite-sized pieces. That's what's helped me. The other thing that's helped me is to not wait, like because I want everything done right at the end, right? I want the kitchen clean. I want the bathrooms cleaned. I want everything in the car, but like 3 days before, I'll think, okay, it's 3 days before. Now is when it needs to get done. So if I do start 3 days before and do the bite-sized pieces, like Becca says, then I'm not so stressed and I feel more on top of things.
That's a really great point, Mamie. One thing we've done along those lines, or at least I've done it as the mom, is even if it's maybe a week out or a week or two out, and I think, oh, we're all packing in those suitcases or those backpacks, I'll just get those and start to stage those. And then randomly, when I think we got to take that, I'll just throw it in that corner. So I agree. Thinking ahead, you want it all done the last day, but you don't start on all of it. Just tonight, we brought out all the packs from the garage so we can pack for scout camp. We're not going to pack for scout camp until Wednesday when school gets out, but at least we have the packs out. That's a tiny thing we can do today. Just one step done.
I agree. And I make lots and lots of lists, and I always make sure that I have them where I can see them, because things will occur to me in a bad moment. And if I don't write it down, I know that I will forget that because it's not going to occur to me again. So I need lists and lists about the food we're taking, the schedule we're keeping, the things we need to take for every child, the things we're taking for our family. Lists are huge. And I also have a place to put things as I'm thinking through it a few days before.
And giving lists to the kids. Sometimes I'll make a list and copy it, hand it to each child, and let them mark their own list. I brought my shoes, I brought my swimsuit, I brought my pajamas. So I think lists for kids are also good. And it's they like that list. Then they feel independent. They can pack what they need to pack.
And thinking of what kids can do, I know we did this when we were kids, and I know I've seen you guys do it with your kids, that you, when they're paired with buddies, then usually the older buddy, if they've got, you know, they've got the list, they can help the younger buddy with their packing too. So, you know, they get their little backpack and, you know, they can help them get their swimsuit and their, you know, their towel, their shirts, their, you know, make sure they have so many outfits or whatever, you know. And so I've loved doing that when we need to have the older buddy help the younger buddy, or, you know, the older kids help the younger kids pack in their little backpacks.
I'm also wondering, Larae, where do you put your lists? Do you have a good place to keep them so it's more organized?
Yeah, I sometimes will put it right on the fridge in a clip, or right on my calendar where it's not going to be touched or moved by the kids. So I make sure that it's out and where I can see it, and with a pen, of course, so I can write quickly. Becca, I love the buddy idea. I've discovered that my older buddies actually really love packing their younger siblings. It's so fun for them to help them choose their outfits and make sure they have the right number of socks and so many diapers and all the things that they will need. And one other thought with that was that I remember I'm a bit of a control freak. And the first few times we did that, I went through and rechecked everything to make sure that the older buddy had done it correctly. And at some point, that was overwhelming to me, because I had to unpack everything and repack it and make sure they had all the stuff. And finally, I realized it's okay if somebody forgot their toothbrush. We can handle that on the road. Or it's okay if we're short a shirt. We can wash something out if we have to. And I found that my kids have become more responsible as they realize I'm not going to double check everything. They're just going to have to live with whatever they did. And I also try to make the list very specific. You know, we need 14 diapers for this overnighter, or we need 3 pairs of socks, so that they know exactly what has to be in that backpack.
I just have a funny story. We went to scout camp a few weeks ago, and the kids are all older, so I just was like, okay, we're leaving for camp tomorrow. Well, it was after church. So we got to church, we went to church, we drove out to camp, we showed up, and my little guy, who's 10, he's like, wait, are we staying overnight here? And I was like, we're at camp for the week. And he said, nobody told me. He had nothing but his Sunday white shirt and his Sunday dress shoes. And the next day was a 10-mile hike, and he did the whole 10-mile hike in his dress shoes, poor thing. Nobody told him to pack for camp.
That's hilarious. But I also think things like that are memories for kids. It's a way they learn and a way that they can look back and remember something so fun in their life.
I also had a tip given to me a few years back from someone that's been life-changing, and that is to purchase from the dollar store extra toothbrushes for traveling and have them already packed, because that's the hardest thing. Everybody wants to brush their teeth right before they leave, and those are the things that get left behind the most. So if you have a way to just have an extra set of toothbrushes for everyone, then nobody has to pack their toothbrush. You just grab the bag and you're all ready to go.
That's so great, Mame. Thanks. We use the ticket game a lot in those last few hours before we leave on a trip. And again, there's no tickets involved. I just say, okay, everyone needs 5 tickets before you climb in the car. Then they start running up to me to say, what's my ticket? Take out all the upstairs garbage. Wash those last dishes in the sink. Sweep the front porch. go run this over to the neighbors. And that kind of gives me the little burst I need to get everything finished before we actually jump in the car and leave.
I love that. I think that that's a really good idea. Maybe we'll adopt that. Mine is right now is we'll just do a quick family meeting. I'll say, okay, we have half an hour. We're going to do a quick family meeting and I'll hand out assignments and we go. But tickets is probably less time consuming. Thanks, Nan.
And you can make it up on the fly when you still see the other jobs that have to be finished.
One thing I do also is our kids love to help pack other things. So I will give them responsibilities. I'll say, will you make sure that we have good music to listen to in the car and get it in the car? Will you make sure that we have some games to play while we're en route or at our destination, and put them in charge of different aspects of it? And they love that too, feeling like their choices are going to help make our vacation very eventful.
Great idea.
Another fun thing that we've done food-wise, and I think both ways are fun, sometimes we'll pack for the family in the front of the car. We have all the breakfast packed and all the lunch packed in the front. But another fun thing that we've done is to have the kids pack whatever they're going to eat en route. So we just put out the sandwich bags and stuff to make sandwiches or whatever we're serving that day. And they can go through and make up their own bag, label their bag, and then they have it with them in their seat. And it's just fun for them. They enjoy doing that, and it makes it exciting.
Lorraine, what's the carrot game you guys play? We played it a couple of times, the Bowden's carrot game, but now I can't remember how it works while you travel.
Then candy or carrots.
That's right.
This is the game. I totally made it up on one of our very long road trips. I just thought I have got to do something for these children because they were getting loud in the back. And I hate feeding them a lot of candy on the road, but we also have carrots as snacks. So I had made a little, just on a one-page paper, like a game show, candy or carrots. And at a moment, I turned it around and I showed it to the back of the van. I said, I'd like a game show, you know, welcome to your next few minutes. We are playing candy or carrots. And the kids, we've just played a trivia game. And the questions, there are lots of ways to play this. We've done it lots of different ways. But the questions are random trivia. They can be about our trip, about what we're seeing on the side of the road, about family history. I just ask a question, and sometimes the kids are in groups. Sometimes they're single, answering for themselves. If they get it correct, I tell them whether they have just earned candy or carrots. And 90% of the time, it's carrots. So that's why it's kind of become a joke in our family that the candy is just an illusion. But I'll be like, you just earned yourself 2 baby carrots or whatever. And we'll pass it back and we keep going. It's just a way to distract them on the road for a few minutes. And they have enjoyed that. It's become kind of a little family legacy, candy or carrots.
That's so fun. And I love, Mamie, that sometimes you give them their own bag of food and own snacks. That way they feel kind of enabled, like, I can eat when I'm hungry. And this is my allotment, and when I'm done, I'm done.
Ray, I think you hit on a key principle, and that is distraction in the car. When people can get bored and tensions can rise, distraction is key. So any thoughts on how to help distract kids in the car, especially when it's a long, long road trip? When we lived in Illinois, we would travel back across country, and there are two options. There's either the option of staying overnight, which can be intimidating in and of itself with a lot of little kids, because then you have to unpack everything and have enough clothes for them to get everything out of the car, or either have another bag that's just for overnight clothes. Anyways, it's just frustrating. Or to make it into a 17-hour road trip, which we did often. And then at the end, I think, why did we decide to do this? This is just 2 hours too long. So how can we distract kids in the car or just keep them happy for such long periods of time? I was thinking, I saw you guys do this, and we've really enjoyed it on long trips, is to listen to a story or a book in the car. I know there's so many good stories, good books, chapter books even, on CD or, that's how we listen to them, but I'm sure people have them on their phones now, but.
You can do it on Libby, Becca. Just get the little Libby app, check it out from your library.
Yay. Okay. I will look up Libby. But those are so good. They've kept us busy for so long. They just captivate the kids and just are neat books to share together and to, to listen to together. And it keeps the kids busy for hours, in their minds, thinking about these great things.
I would agree. Music and books, audiobooks are so good and so fun. You can get a lot of mileage and a lot of time and a lot of good learning done as you travel.
I agree with that. I remember growing up that I feel like Mom and Pa were really good at singing with us. And we did a lot of singing in the car. Just really fun songs. I remember learning songs that way. King of the Camp. And just some fun, hilarious songs. Often as the mother in the front now, I'm too tired to instigate that. I just want to have my own thoughts going on and have the kids be handling themselves. But good music is good. It's fun also when the kids instigate their own singing and do things with each other.
For sure.
And I would say that same thing, right? I was thinking, often our trip is from Manti up to Ogden or, up to the Wasatch Front. So a few hours. And we can get, we can just get going on our music stuff, be listening to our music. And that is something we all love. But then I've thought, but we want to interact with each other too. And so we try to, switch it up with, let's do music for the first part of the trip, but then let's turn it off and let's play the ABC game, find all the ABCs on the signs, right? Or I don't know, other fun games. I love the carrot candy thing. We should do that. And then sometimes I've just thought we can just turn off things for a few minutes and the kids get talking and they get, into their own conversations in the back and we all get laughing. And so I think there's so much you can do and that it's a time to be together and that's what, anyway, so we try to take to have some kind of a balance of, let's listen, or let's just enjoy being together.
Becca, I think that's such a good point, especially in the digital world today. I think a majority maybe of traveling families, every child has a device and they just kind of entertain themselves. We travel a lot across the Pacific, so we have, 12-hour flights, and it's easy for kids to get on a flight, turn on a screen. They could watch that screen for 12 full hours. So our family says you get on the flight, you give 2 good hours to your book or your schoolwork, and then you can watch a 2-hour movie, and then you owe me another 2 hours of something that's not a screen. But talking about traveling and just talking together, sometimes when we're in the car traveling and I think, wow, this is long, I have a memory of reading Little House on the Prairie and how the Ingalls family traveled for days across the prairie in their wagon, and Laura and Mary just sat on the back of the wagon. I mean, what did they do the whole day? They didn't have any music unless they sang it. And also there's another part in the series where they travel on a train for like 8 hours and they just literally sat there for the 8 hours. So our society has become so accustomed to having a lot of distractions, a lot of entertainment. I think, like you say, sometimes you just turn it all off and kids can talk and look at the scenery and just remind ourselves that we're okay without all these different entertainment crutches sometimes.
We traveled as kids too a lot, and I think I often actually look back, and one of
the things that I do really well, I think, is to sit quietly for long periods of time. I can keep my brain very busy for hours. And I think that I learned that in our car because we did. We looked out the window. I can look out at a drive and I enjoy hours of just quiet and watching the scenery. And I think I learned that growing up. I think that's a skill and a talent that our kids maybe need to learn. Boredom can lead to creativity and to deep thoughts and to just really good meditations. So we need to give them that time too.
I'm also remembering going back to Larae's trivia and using it as a time to teach Nettie. I think it was Nettie's family that does the game. I'm thinking of a cousin.
Yes, name that cousin.
We love that game. It's so much fun. We'll do it at the dinner table too, not just traveling, but that's a really fun one too. You could do it about cousins. You could do it about ancestors. I'm thinking of an ancestor. I'm thinking of someone from the scriptures. It's just fun to keep their minds working and thinking and learning. I just really like it. I also want to say, Nettie, that don't you sometimes have assigned seats in your car or somebody? Maybe it's Ray.
I think that's Ray.
Oh, yes. We have assigned seats in our car because some people don't get along very well with other people. And also because as we're traveling for long periods of time, an older buddy and a younger buddy work very well together. An older buddy can help a younger buddy reach the food, handle their snacks, deal with the dropped snacks, or get them their water bottle. So, yes, we have assigned seats.
We
did.
Until half your kids grew up and left.
Until we can now fit in a sedan most of the time.
Or everyone now has two seats.
Yeah.
We don't have assigned seats, but sometimes we do something fun on a trip and we draw numbers. So we'll number all the seats, and then every time, like every hour or two that we climb out of the car, everybody will draw a number, and that's your new seat. And it's kind of fun because it shakes it up. So the kids that don't always sit by each other are not always sitting by each other. Anyway, that's all we've done for assigned seats, but it's a good way to change up the travel.
Love that.
That's a fun idea. And then, yeah, that's a very fun idea. Okay, just a couple of weeks ago, one of my married daughters came home so excited at Hobby Lobby. She had just seen the little, I don't know if you remember, there were some from the 70s bingo card games that are on really heavy cardboard with little sliding colored plastic things where you can cross off the state's license plates that you see or things that you see on the road, cows, gas station, whatever. They're just little mini bingos. We had them as kids, and I found them at a secondhand store when my kids were growing up, and apparently at Hobby Lobby they had them. They were just little tiny game boards that you can take in the car, hand out to the kids so they can do the license plate game or a bingo.
That's so fun.
So stuff like that is really fun. I also remember playing with Paw, Stink Pink, and Stinky yes. Pinkies and Stinkity Pinkities. We learned so much doing that. I have tried to introduce that game to my third graders, and they can't even wrap their heads around it. But I remember playing in the car that game, and it's just very, it's good for your brain. I would not have guessed that all those years playing it.
Give us an example of a stink pink, Ray.
Oh, man, now I haven't prepared for this. I have to think.
Wrap your brain around it.
I've got one I can do an example. Because we all know this game. We all grew up on it. So the person that has the idea will say, I have a stink pink, or I have a stinky pinky, or I have a stinkity pinkity, depending on how many syllables the rhyming words are. So, now I'm not going to be able to think of one either. Red shed would be a stink pink because it rhymes, and they're both one syllable. So instead of saying, you say, I have a stink pink, and then you give clues as to what the two are. So you'd say a colorful building, for example.
Or a
crisp. And everyone in the car says, well, is it this? Is it this? And the person that gets the red shed then goes next, right? And then they come up with one.
So half the battle is coming up with a really good clue. So I would use the clue, a crimson shack. A red shack.
Oh, that's shack. A good one, then. I didn't do very well, obviously.
Yes. I love this pink pink game.
It's a good vocabulary game, and it's so fun coming up with a really great stink pink or stinky pinky. And the more syllables, the more glory, right? If you could come up with a really great multi-syllable one, really fun. And they had to rhyme, if I remember right.
Yes, they have to rhyme.
They have to rhyme the answers.
Yeah.
So, very fun game.
Okay, I'm going to jump in there and say that movies do have their place. When we went across country, and it was the 17 hours, then usually our plan was to just hold off kids as long as we could, be creative, do all the games, do all the talking, do the story on audio book. But then near the end, when people were just cranky and tired, then that's when we finally turn on the movie and let it be just a good movie that you want your kids to see, because they're excited to watch anything, right, at that point. And then you can get through the last couple of hours without the fighting and the bickering and the complaining and when are we going to get there, et cetera.
Great point, Mamie. And we don't often sit down as a family and watch a movie. So sometimes in the car, that is really nice to think, I want my child to watch this classic or I want my child to watch this series. It is nice.
It is nice to be in charge of the entertainment on a road trip because you can then teach your kids good things. So I've liked that too. One thing we did once, we've done it a few times, but on very long road trips, I remember, Mamie, we came to visit you in Chicago once and we had really little ones. And we put every child in charge of a state and they were supposed to find out some details about that state. So then they looked forward to crossing a state line, taking a picture by the sign and telling us some details of things they'd learned about in that state. And I also did a little road research. We didn't want to take a lot of time on the road, but sometimes there are things just right off the road that are quick stops or a quick park or a quick thing. So I was trying to find things that would entertain us with all these hours of nothing, and I found this huge, maybe 50-foot Van Gogh painting replica somebody had built in the middle of a field right off the road in Kansas. So we stopped really quick, went to see it, took a picture, talked about Van Gogh and moved on. But several years later, well, 3 or 4 years later, one of my children in a math class came across a picture of that particular place in Kansas and that painting. And one of the kids remarked that was crazy. No, that must not be a real picture. And my child spoke up and said, yes, it is. We've been there. And we took a picture. I've been to that Van Gogh painting in the middle of nowhere, Kansas. So stuff like that is fun. And it gives us things to look forward to as we're driving. In a few hours, we'll stop and see this. Or look out your right window for this as we're driving by.
Ray, I love that. Goodness, I was thinking, stops are so important. And for me, the elephant in the room is how to handle bathroom breaks on a road trip. I don't know if that's an overwhelming thing for everybody, but it always
definitely
is
an elephant in the room.
So I would just, anyway, I don't know if it goes without saying, but if you know, like right before we get in the car, everybody go to the bathroom one more time. And then, like, in 2 hours, we'll take a stop and everybody go to the bathroom again. And 2 more hours, we'll take another stop. I don't know. It helps streamline the process. I'm just saying. along with just stops, I think just having a park to pull off to and run around for 20 minutes or, you know, for kids to be able to move and be able to get out of the car, I think is a good.
I'm going to go back to the bathroom, Becca. One thing that I deal with is toddlers, especially when you know they're the ones that need to go to the bathroom soonest. They'll be like, oh, I already went. I don't need to go. So I think I learned this from Nettie, but
I'll just say, well, that's just fine that you already went and that you don't need to go, but we're going to pretend. Anybody that wants to get in the car right now and leave on the trip with us, got to pretend to go to the bathroom. So they have to at least sit there, and then it's not a problem. Or if we stop, oh, I don't need to go, that's fine, but everyone's going to get out right now. We're all going to pretend. So that's been a key for me. silly, but it works.
So glad I inspired you, Mame. I was just going to say, always say, go pretend.
Right with you.
Also, we have once in a while taken a little porta potty with us when we just know we're going to be in the middle of nowhere.
Nice. And I've also controlled the water. We do not just hand our kids water bottles to take in the car. Especially when they're younger, I just control the water. We'll drink when we need to stop for lunch. And that helps us.
And I would also say avoid anything besides water, like juice is terrible, or Capri Suns, or anything that seems like, oh, this would be fun to have on a road trip. Well, we just avoid all of that and just stick with water because of the thing.
Yeah, I kept a 2-liter jug of water up with me and a cup so that if thirsty, I want to deprive them, but I doled it out. They didn't just drink for entertainment. So, and I agree with you, Mame. Anything besides water, problem.
I was actually thinking about this past week. We were out in the Japanese community waiting in a line for about an hour, and I saw a lot of little Japanese kids, you know, just running around playing, and it was so fun to watch. And it occurred to me that they don't use food in their society as entertainment. You eat 3 times a day. And I thought, if I were waiting in line with kids for an hour, I would have probably bought snacks and chips and fruit things. And they just don't. We've turned food into an entertainment. And on travel trips, you can certainly do that a lot too. And then you depend on food to keep the kids quiet. Then you're going to the bathroom a lot more. Plus, it's very unhealthy. There are other ways to entertain ourselves.
I agree. That's a great point, Nan. The other thing I would say, though, is that you can use it as a reward in the car. Like, if we can get through the next 50 miles without anyone being sad, then we'll hand out a treat, you know? Then we'll hand out a little cheese stick or whatever it may be. But just that helps get through to, oh, kids will say, oh, I'm hungry. Well, when we get to this state, then we'll hand out the next food item. So that can be a way to get through the trip. But I also love this discussion because it reminds me that it's not a time to be discarded or to get through. It's a time to be enjoyed. Like Becca said, it's time, and it's time with our families. And if we can capitalize on that, then that is amazing and great and can strengthen our family relationships. But it comes down to attitude, the way we see it, the way we respond to it. If we have a good attitude about it and use it to better our relationships with our kids and with our spouse, then it can be a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Well said, Mame. That's a great wrap up. And I do want to clarify that there should always be a bag of chocolate and licorice in the front seat for the mom.
That's fun, then.
Can I just add one quick thought that I had? Mama did this, and I'm not very good at this, but she would, I think I'm not very good at it because, you know, I feel like I'm always, you know, passing around the breakfast or passing around the lunch, you know, in the car. I don't know. But she would take products in the car. And she, I remember her doing crocheting, you know, when she'd be making an afghan or making, you know, dishcloths, you know, something, she would take crocheting in the car and it was stuff. And I've seen my kids, you know, when they're working on a project, they'll take it in the car if they know, you know, we've got a few hours that we're going to be there in the car. So I think you can make it productive and great. Anyway, that way to be able to have projects.
Great idea, Becca. Love it. Any final thoughts from anyone?
I think you gave a really nice conclusion, Mame. It's to be enjoyed, not endured.
Agreed. Have we solved all the world's travel problems now?
Sure, we'll have smooth sailing.
I loved all the ideas. Makes me want to go on a road trip, and I don't like to do that very often. So,
well, this is the time. Summer is here. Thanks, everybody. This was a great call, and I think we have a lot of fun trips ahead.
Thank you, guys, for all your ideas.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Happy traveling.
Happy traveling.
Happy travel.
Thanks for tuning into Sister Share. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you again next week.